Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, you are listening to The Southern Fork, a podcast that hosts kitchen chats with some of the most interesting people in the culinary South. I'm your host, Stephanie Burt, and I'm always hungry to learn more. Let's dig in. Tis the season, so it's time for a little gift from me. This is the first installment of the Southern Fork Holiday Bites, and fittingly, we don't start with bites at all, but bubbles, as I join episode 58's Patrick Emerson of Curated Selections to sip champagne and other varietals that would be great for a Thanksgiving table. The key is to think beyond turkey, and we do that, sitting in his warehouse office to sip and discuss everything from wine regions to price to what to serve with that green bean casserole. The Southern Fork Holiday Bites is supported by Charleston Wine and Food. If you listen to this podcast, then you know that I build my calendar each year around this food festival. For 2018, you can do the same thing. First, mark your calendars. It's February 28th through March 4th. Second, I have a way that you can score some tickets that are already sold out. How? Through the ticket packages. There are three levels, starter, supper, and feast. And you know which one I'd suggest, right? And they give you an easy way to experience different aspects of the festival, which is way more than that culinary village in Marion Square. We're talking 110 separate events, way more. And finally, how easy would a ticket package be for the foodie on your holiday list? Seriously, it's one of the best food festivals in the nation, which works out for me since it's in my city. So visit charlestonwineandfood.com to get those ticket packages before they sell out. Now, it's time to pop that champagne cork with Patrick so you can get to wine shopping. So here we are back again, Patrick Emerson.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's 10:30 a.m. and I said, hey, I want to go drink some wine. And Patrick said, come on by.
It's so never too early, really.
Never too early to drink wine. We're going to be talking Thanksgiving wines today. And Patrick has pulled four for us, one of different styles and varietals. And we're going to talk a little bit with this guy who didn't grow up in the United States.
No.
Do you even like Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Patrick? As a foreigner, I've adopted Thanksgiving as, I think, my favorite American holiday. I love the fact that it revolves around food and family and tradition, and I love watching football and falling asleep in the afternoon, you know, so it kind of reminds me of England a little bit, and certainly our Christmas celebration, it's definitely linked to that.
Okay.
Originally, it was the first holiday that was actually, this is a little known fact, was celebrated in England because we had got rid of the pilgrims.
Yeah. You're like, bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone crack the champagne. Kill the turkey.
So you're like, well, we'll jump on board with that. And Thanksgiving really is a food holiday. I know that we've really watched the evolution of the Thanksgiving meal in the last decade move from a turkey-centric meal to then we've done fried turkey. That was a big craze. And it still really is happening. But there's always, at least at the celebrations that I go to, everybody's so obsessed with the sides.
No question.
And so we have this veggie forward thing happening now where the turkey is taking more of a backseat and we have all these veggies. How do you pair wines with that?
Well, you know, that's a really exciting aspect, I think, of Thanksgiving for me is what else you put on the plate, because turkey's, you know, it's fine, it's bland, it's easy, it goes with everything, you know. So I think you kind of want to move away from pairing wine with that and thinking about the entire dish, beyond the main protein. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, people are playing around with all sorts of different flavors and foods. I mean, you're getting taco turkey dinners, and, you know, you're getting empanadas and, yes. you know, lots of really interesting things. But I'm particularly interested in the vegetable aspect of things. You know, that's what my family really concentrates on eating these days. So we're going to be doing a delicato squash that's going to be stuffed. It was a recipe I saw in the New York Times on Sunday.
Sounds so good.
And I was thinking about wine with that too. So, you know, we love champagne. You're not surprised to see champagne here on the list. It is the best drink beverage on earth to enjoy.
It really, really is. There is never a time when champagne is inappropriate.
Yeah. And it goes great with everything except dessert.
Ah, and most people will drink champagne with dessert. Why is that?
Well, they'll do it because they normally only drink champagne at weddings. Mm-hmm. There we go. And so let's have a little taste of this one. This is a new one to me. From A.R. Lenoble is the name of the producer. They're out of the Grand Cru village of Chouy. Like most great champagnes, it's a blend of mostly Chardonnay, a little Pinot Noir, and a touch of Pinot Meunier too. Why I love this wine is because it's a extra brut, a brut zero dosage, which means there's no residual sugar in the wine. Mm-hmm. This has been a trend recently. People are really into extra bruts, but they can be sometimes, because there's no sugar, a little bit tinny and a little bit thin.
Right, right.
Because the grapes come from this village, which is more closer to the river of Leman, it's a clay silt-based soil, gives the wine some more body, and it can be a brut zero dosage without losing any of its weight. So
and you want a weight in the champagne.
I do, yeah. Yeah, especially
you want
with
that
food.
Contrast with the bubbles, so yeah. It's not just bubbles.
Yeah. Right. Although this would be a fantastic aperitif because it's dry, it gets you salivating, it's got mm-hmm. high natural acidity, and it's going to be fantastic with all of those strange things that we do over Thanksgiving.
Yes.
On
from
sweet
roasted
potato casserole,
Brussels sprouts with bacon,
yeah.
maple syrup,
yeah.
And
yeah.
who knows?
And this will cut right through that sweetness too.
And it has the most gorgeous bubbles.
Yeah.
Cheers.
It's a delicate, beautiful champagne and bone dry.
Oh my goodness. That is so, so good. And I can feel my mouth salivating a little bit ready.
That's right. Getting ready to eat. Mm-hmm. It's very refreshing. The bubbles give it an excitement. It's a celebration. Mm-hmm. Actually, bubbles also get the alcohol into the bloodstream faster. So I always recommend having champagne before you start a party because it gets you going. Mm-hmm. Although, that being said, you know, for Thanksgiving, you're going to be drinking probably a little more than you do over a longer period of time. And so when picking wines, I really look towards wines that are lower in alcohol. Mm-hmm. So something that you can enjoy throughout the day without, you know, your drunk uncle falling down after
right.
lunch.
It's the equivalent of a session ale.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you can have more than one in a session.
Yeah. So I like to look for wines that have higher acid, lower alcohol. Generally speaking, they come from the old world. But of course, mm-hmm. we're celebrating America and the founding of the United States. So we've got a nod later on. We're going to taste a domestic Pinot.
Okay, good. Well, I trust you to get me into the old world, though, because those are my favorite ones. I love that high acidity and the brightness, especially when you're eating so much heavy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, my plate is usually completely weighted down with things, and bubbles just make it better.
They do. Bubbles make it better. Mm-hmm. You know, Magnum say you care, too. So if you really want to show off and impress your friends and family, I always recommend taking a Magnum to the table. You know, price point, you don't have to pay a lot of money to have a great bottle of wine. There's certainly lots and lots of different wines that you can take that, you know, start around $20 that can be fantastic. But I like to look off the beaten track too, because that's where you right. find the value.
And I was going to bring that up immediately. And that is, I think a lot of people, you know, you're in a rush, you're going to the grocery store or you're going to a big box store sometimes to get that wine because it's just one of 10 things that you have to do that day.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other places, especially wine shops, where you can go and try a glass of wine before you
exactly.
buy it, right?
So I would say think ahead. Don't buy it the day before Trader Joe's when you're picking up that extra loaf of bread. You know, go to your local wine shop, speak with your local purveyors. We've got so many great new wine shops, exciting things happening here in town in Charleston.
And the price points are better.
You're going to get a better wine and a better price, and you're going to have somebody who actually really cares about right. your enjoyment for the day. So value wines that are just slightly off the beaten track. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I saw a post yesterday from a sommelier friend of mine who was like, this is the time of year where they wheel out every like old sommelier and they start giving you the old traditional pairings, you know. Well, Cru Beaujolais is not Beaujolais Nouveau. In fact, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with those pairings. They're fantastic. I actually will be drinking Cru Beaujolais at some point on Thanksgiving, I'm sure. But there's so many other options that are exciting out there. Mm-hmm. And with the move towards non-traditional foods, I don't see why you should go with a traditional wine.
Right.
Or a beer or a cider, for that matter.
Right. You know? Soggy Ridge Cider.
Cider from Virginia is fantastic. Yeah. If you really want to do the domestic thing, we've got a terrific one we carry from the Basque region called Ubetate that I love. It's mm-hmm. just a very natural, almost like a sour beer. Is it a ghost? Mm-hmm. Cider style. And then you from Brittany, of course, where in France, northern France, where they produce probably arguably the world's best ciders too. And that flavor profile, that apple profile, goes great with a meal.
Oh
as
my
well.
Goodness, so great. And great with turkey. I mean, if you have to get back to that turkey.
Yeah right.
So I'm gonna
absolutely
take one more sip before I dump this glass. Oh.
Dumping champagne is hard to do, but...
It is, but we have...
When you're a professional, you got to make some sacrifices.
That's right.
So the next wine I chose would probably be more along the traditional lines, having just said that maybe I'm one of the old sommeliers. They wheel you out at this time of year. Now,
Vouvray.
Oh. So Chenin Blanc, favorite, very much a favorite of mine. You know, Vouvray is the region. Bernard Fouquet is the producer. And the wine is called Cuvée de Silex.
And this is 2016.
Silex is a type of soil. It's like a flint that gives it a tremendous minerality.
I can't wait to try this wine. Let's do it. This
so,
is minerality and Chenin Blanc.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really outstanding.
Just got a kiss of sweetness at the finish.
Right.
Which will help with that kind of maple syrup, bacon... element you were talking about earlier, or the sweet potatoes especially. It's really good with spicy food as well. So if you've got anything that you're thinking about making a little bit more interesting than bland mashed potatoes, a little heat to it would be, this wine would be fantastic.
It would also probably pair really well with garlic.
It does.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Garlic and some of those cruciferous vegetables that are hard. You know, we talked about Brussels sprouts, green beans.
Right.
Your casserole that you're going to do with the crunchy Funyuns on it.
I might not do it. I just like the Funyuns on it or the Durkee's onions. I kind of am a little ill with taking out the cream of mushroom out of the can.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Yeah, I got a bit of a problem with that too.
Bechamel.
You can make a nice fresh sauce, but. Yes. You know, as long as you don't do the marshmallows, do you?
No. I'm anti-marshmallow.
Although this would be really good with the marshmallow,
it would be good with marshmallows. But I'm anti-marshmallow on the sweet potato, but I'm very pro-marshmallow in general.
Yeah.
Like campfire marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. S'mores.
God.
I drive my kids crazy because I always get it wrong and call them s'mores.
And they're like,
like you're gonna
we
have,
hate you.
Are you going to have more s'mores? No, I just say it on purpose to annoy them.
Yeah. Well, you have a fire pit in your backyard.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's a nice...
We got the s'more pit.
The s'more.
And this is not going to surprise you that I've selected number three is a rosé from Bandol.
Mm-hmm. Everyday rosé.
Well, it's not actually. This is less everyday. This is more special. This is La Bastide Blanche. Mm-hmm. It's a producer who's been around since the 70s. Two gentlemen who make wine here. And Bandol is the region in Provence that I really enjoy at this time of year. The wines are slightly more savory than like that fresh strawberry raspberry fruit you get for the summer rosés. This is actually a rosé that you could age for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to drink current vintage of rosé. You know, the common census is that if it's 2017, you drink 2016. You never look at 2015,
mm-hmm.
Which is for a general rule is a pretty good idea. You know, you want to capture that freshness. Mm-hmm. But Bandol is made from a grape primarily called Mourvèdre, which is a thick-skinned, highly tannic grape,
right.
And you get a lot of intensity to it.
And it's a little bit of a more intense production method because of that thick skin, right?
Sure, yeah. It's got some body to it. It's got some tannin and some weight as well. So for this time of year, I would highly recommend it. This producer, Bastide Blanche, was actually Best Value Bandol in the New York Times by Eric Asimov, just rated this winery very highly.
We should say hey to Eric, although he probably doesn't listen to the show.
No.
Hey, Eric.
Well, good choice, Eric, because I love this wine. It has these kind of fally flavors that are just perfect for this time of year.
Let's describe the nose of this, because rosé always has such a beautiful nose. So. Well,
as opposed to something traditionally from Provence, where you're looking at more sort of raspberry, strawberry, sweet note flavors, this to me is more cranberry, more
it definitely leafy. Has that cranberry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some savory notes too, perhaps some dried garrigue, some of those wonderful dried Provence herbs you find.
And rosé, just to reiterate, is great for people at a party because it appeals often to red wine and white wine drinkers because of the flavor profile
and
the weight.
Absolutely. And chances are, you know, probably Thanksgiving in Charleston, or if you're in the South, it's probably going to be 85 degrees this year. So rather than drinking a big, heavy red or a Zinfandel or something like that, which is often used for the Thanksgiving dinner, if you drink a rosé, you still get those red wine flavors, but you're not getting the tannin or necessarily the alcohol either.
Right.
So a refreshing, big appeal to multiple people at the table. You know, you got a family of 20, rosé is great.
You just have to fight, you know, Aunt Ida a little bit
and
tell her, trust me, just take a sip of it. If you don't like it, I'll pour you a red.
Just sell her as a cocktail. It's red wine with a little Sprite and it should be fine, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah. That is just terrific. Very low yields, really beautifully refined. They were put on the map around 1993 with the breakout vintage and haven't looked back.
And that's a beautiful label, too. I think everybody can go to thesouthernfork.com to see the images of these labels, because I know that I need that when I'm going wine shopping, too.
Well, you can take the picture, take it to the wine shop and say, this is a wine I like, and if they don't have it, they can give you something that's similar. Yeah.
I always take pictures of a wine bottle, a glass of wine that I like. If I like it, I'll ask the bartender or the somm to bring it over so I can take a picture of it and remember it.
That's a great idea.
It's so much easier for me to go back and recall. And, you know, we all go through our photos and clean them out and organize them. So you see that recognition of that wine you liked a few times, and then it sticks, because there's a lot to remember when it
Well, especially
when it comes
if you have a few bottles, you wake up the next day, I love that wine I drank, but God, I can't remember the name.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll finish off with our nod to the United States. I wanted to choose one from America because it is, after all, a very American holiday. This is from Oregon. It's from the Willamette Valley, and it's a producer
Such a great
named
region wine.
Beautiful. Oh. And this is Bergstrom Pinot Noir, their Cumberland Reserve. They make about 10 different wines. Mm. A couple of different Chardonnays, too, that are excellent. But the Cumberland Reserve is their entry level. It's a blend of the five sub-Appalachians in the Willamette Valley and a perfect Thanksgiving wine.
That means that they're subclimates within that one valley.
Yeah, so Willamette's divided, like most regions now, into smaller regions where they'll find specific qualities to a region and give it a name to make it special.
Mm-hmm.
But also to give the consumer an idea. So let's say if you're in the Eola Amity Hills of Willamette Valley, you're going to be looking at some more dark fruit notes. You know, Dundee's going to have a bit of spice. Etc. Etc.
So you can find more wine
from
that region that you like.
Exactly.
You know, it's just another entry point into finding more drinkable wines for you.
It's along the Burgundy model. And this actually, Josh Bergstrom is the winemaker here, has been for years, and he's the fourth out of five sons of John Bergstrom, who was a Swedish immigrant who laid down his roots in Oregon. He was a surgeon and then bought some land and started making wine. So, you know, there's a tendency for us to say, Oregon is America's Burgundy region, and it drives me crazy when people say it's very Burgundian, you know, because it's horseshit, really. I mean, this is American wine. It's got a great amount of fruit to it as well. It's not really a good comparison. Oregon's
Some people
a very, you know,
use that term, great amount of fruit. A lot of people have used the term jammy.
Jammy, yeah.
Which we hate that term, but come on.
Jammy's not really polite. or an encouraging term to me. If somebody's going to tell me it's jammy, I'm like, well, then I'll put it on my peanut butter sandwich. Then, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I'm looking for balance, earth, acidity, fruit, all in sort of a complete package. But that being said, this is a terrific vintage. It was a warm vintage, of course, 2015, and there is copious amounts of fruit on this.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, clear, light color for a red.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's not heavy.
It's a classic Pinot. So once again, you know, more restrained in alcohol. Pinot Noir is a great wine to pair with the meal itself. And it's going to go with all those sides as well.
Well, let's clink that last one. Cheers. Cheers.
There are now, I think, over 500 wineries in Oregon, but Bergstrom's been around for a long time. They're one of the blue chip wines. They're not inexpensive, but for a special occasion, I think this would be a fantastic thing, addition to the table and to the meal.
And so could you work through, depending on the amount of people that you have, if you just have two of you, four bottles might be a lot.
Oh, I think we'd need some more, actually, Steph.
Well, depending on you and me.
Depending on who's throwing the party, yeah.
Right. I'll take this one, Patrick, and you have that one.
Well, I think I was reading the other day, somebody was suggesting that you should say maybe a bottle per person, but of course it depends on the crowd.
Right.
Our crowd will probably be one and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, other people have a glass. So, when I'm throwing a party, I normally do half a bottle per person, which is two glasses, and that's a good average. Right. But again, you're going to be starting early and probably finishing a little bit later for Thanksgiving, so you might want to budget a little bit more. Plus, the worst thing you can do is run out of wine, because then you're a lousy host too.
Yes.
Or hostess.
But you can work through the meal with these as well. And some people can decide that they want to stay with them throughout the whole meal. But starting out with champagne for everyone is a great way to say this is time that the meal has started. And ending with the red is a big finish. Yeah. You know, it's a nice
flourish
at the end. And of course, it goes great with dessert.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite? You're not super dessert guy, but...
No, we're going to do a carrot cake this year that Lily's going to make. She did it last year and was a huge hit. And makes a terrific apple pie as well, so I'm all about that.
Apple pie and Pinot. That's a fun combo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, what are some of the others that you'll do?
Well,
the pecan pie.
Yes. I like that. It can get a little gelatinous.
Just a little piece of it. Yeah. It's terrific.
But I'm a big carrot cake fan. Carrot cake's with great. A nice cream cheese frosting and some good, you know, freshly ground spices in that cake.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm relegated to just washing the dishes and my wife and daughter will handle dessert because they do it. That's their thing.
That's their thing. They love to bake.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, these are some great wines. And I just have to say, there are so many great wines out there if you take the time and you realize that it's not about trying to show off or about being intimidated.
Not at all.
It's the opposite of that. It's about finding something. And it can feel a little bit like a discovery. And if you share that discovery with your family and friends, it actually becomes a journey that you can all be on together.
Yeah.
So.
It's really exciting. And it's one of the most communal, intimate things you can do, right? Put something into your body, your system, and do it in a communal way. Where you're eating and drinking together, I think it's a fantastic way to celebrate, which is why that's what our celebrations involve, right?
That's
eating
right.
and drinking.
It's just the way it should be.
And doing it together.
That's right.
With friends.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Patrick.
To you too. It's great to see you. Thanks
great
for coming
to see
in.
You. You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?